I'm Rex Black, president of RBCS. We are a worldwide testing and quality assurance firm serving clients ranging from small startups to Fortune 20 global enterprises. From 1994, RBCS has delivered insight and confidence to hundreds of clients around the world. We have our team of international consultants that deliver customized training, consulting, and expert services to companies that are looking to improve their test and quality assurance practices. And I'm the author of many books on software testing, as well as being the past president of the ISTQB. So this is one of our long-running series of one key idea. So it's brief, timely, and relevant skills. So we're going to jump right in here in just a minute. Feel free to submit questions as we go, and I will answer them when we get through our brief content. I hope you enjoy this free webinar from RBCS. We do these as a service to the software testing community because at RBCS, we are a not-just-for-profit company. If you enjoy our free webinars and feel that they demonstrate solid insights into the kinds of testing challenges you face, please make RBCS your preferred software testing vendor for any and all expert services, consulting, or training. So, today our topic is audition interviews. So, what is an audition interview? Does it involve walking across a stage or a gangplank or something like that, as you see in the picture here? Well, no, not quite. Not unless you're, you know, auditioning for things that require that kind of performance. Now, the idea of an audition interview is to have the candidate do something or do some things that they will actually need to do in their day-to-day work, and thus demonstrate that they have the skills that they will need to do in their day-to-day work. One of the problems that we can have with interviews is that when you ask somebody questions, they may be able to give the right answers, and they may be a very persuasive talker, and a lot of people are. And there are, of course, if you don't know this and you go out on Amazon and look, there are books out there on how to answer interview questions. Now, if you think that somebody who studies up to learn how to answer interview questions, that that's necessarily going to connect with their ability to do their job on a day-to-day basis, well, I would suspect not. I think that those are about talking your way into something, and whether or not you can actually perform once you've done that is an open question. Now, that's not something that you, as a hiring manager or hiring person in an organization, want. You do not want somebody talking their way in and then let's see how this works out. You know, sometimes that works out fine and the person is able to raise their skills quickly and there is needed, but other times it doesn't work out so fine. And a bad hiring decision is a really big deal if you're a manager and if you've made bad hiring decisions, as I know I have, and I think pretty much every hiring manager has, at one point in their career, if they've done it long enough, you know that that's something you really want to avoid. If you have no idea why I'm saying, oh, hiring decisions are really painful, and you know, if you make mistakes, because you haven't made one, be happy about that and aspire never to make one. And this technique that I'm about to talk about will help. Excuse me, dry throat from some international travel last week. So what is an audition interview? Well, as I said, it's about demonstrating the ability to actually do things that are going to be key in one's day-to-day work. And if we're looking at testers, one of the things that I've done in the past of hiring people who are going to be primarily executing tests is to give them a test that I know will fail. Now, I don't tell them it's going to fail. I give them the test and I put them down, sit them down in front of the system under test and say, run the test. Now that test is going to be written at whatever level of detail the real tests are, because these are real tests. So if you are writing concrete tests that actually have, you know, detailed steps, then that's what you give them. But if you are instead doing more logical level tests where the suggestion is just, well, you know, try values that are too high, too low, you know, it's again, not giving specific values, then give them that. Because again, the objective here is to be exactly like what's going to happen in the real world. So you give them the test, whatever test is, you know, real world test, it's actually going to fail. Ideally, this is on the same system that you're testing. And ideally, the failure is something that has some nuance to it, or maybe multiple failures. And I usually give them a notepad and ask them to write their defect reports. Now, you can also ask them to write the defect reports in the notepad app if you prefer to see something typed. I would not actually have them log the defect report in your defect tracking system unless you are really truly trying to evaluate their ability to, say, use Jira or some or whatever tool that that you're using. But if that's not something that you're worried about, and you know, you really shouldn't be, because it should be any decent bug tracking tool is something that someone can learn pretty quickly. You wouldn't want to throw stumbling blocks in their way that detract from the main thing you're trying to evaluate here, which is, you know, their ability to execute a test and to recognize defects when they see the failures associated with them. So you get them running the test, and what you want them to do, of course, is find the defects that you know are there, and certainly have at least one. And the reason for this is that what will happen, we have used this on a number of occasions to hire testers, and what one of the things that happens is that sometimes, you know, people are doing all right in the interviews, and we don't do the audition interview, by the way, unless somebody already has gone through the verbal aspect reasonably well. And assuming they've gone through the verbal aspect reasonably well, we then do this audition part. And we've had situations where people who are doing reasonably well in the verbal part of the interview get to this audition part and blow it. And then one of the key ways they blow it is by coming back and you ask them, well, what happened? Did the test pass or fail? And they say, well, it passed. Excuse me. Now, if you know that the test failed or should fail, then you know that either the person is like not paying any attention at all, or they had no idea what they were doing and just didn't do it right. So that's, of course, an instant DQ, disqualification, when that happens, at least, you know, in our situation. We certainly don't want somebody who's going to coming on board and giving us a bunch of false negatives because they're running tests and not seeing bugs that are right in front of them. Now, one of our more interesting experiences with this was we were going through an interview. We had a candidate, and this woman was a master's student at University of Texas in Austin. And she was just finishing her education, but she needed to wait. She had a student visa that allowed her to work. She needed to wait to see what she was going to do with her life for her husband, who was also enrolled at UT Austin, and he was getting his PhD. So he had another year or something to go. So she was kind of looking for some work to do to kind of get, you know, keep her busy and provide some income while she was waiting for that. So she and her husband were on these student visas from China. And, in the interviews, she did reasonably well enough to get to the audition interview, but she was somewhat reticent to, brag about herself to some extent to, you know, you ask like, well, what are your strengths and so forth? Or, you know, what skills, you know, talk about your skills. It's somewhat self-effacing. And her spoken English wasn't great. It wasn't bad, but it was, you know, it was a little bit problematic sometimes to understand. And, you know, so we weren't hiring her to be in a position where she was going to have to go and give presentations. So we didn't want to hold that against her. But at the same time, we needed to be sure that, you know, this person was going to do really well. So we sat her down to do the audition interview saying, you know, She's done well enough that we're happy to see her try this. You know, we think there's some good skills in here. We just need to give her an opportunity to show us rather than trying to make her tell us, which is, you know, kind of a struggle. So she sits down, she starts running this test, and she's over there working away. And, so we give her the allotted time. I think it was 30 minutes that we would give people up to 30 minutes. And so then we went over and asked, okay, did you finish? And she said, yes. And we said, pass or fail? She said, fail. And she said, well, how many bugs did you find? And not only had she found the bug that we knew was there, she had found two or three other bugs that we weren't even aware were there. And she showed us on her notepad these perfectly written bug reports that are just, really well expressed, all the detail you'd want there. They were in absolutely perfect English. I mean, better English than some of my native speaking testers would have been able to write that were already on the team. And at which point we looked at her and said, you are hired. And your first job is to enter those bug reports into the bug tracking system. And we're going to show you how to do that after you get your paperwork filled out. So not only does this help you weed out people who may talk their way into a job that they actually can't do, it really allows you to recognize the important skills, right? I mean, so it would have been a possibility for us if we'd just gone on verbal interview, and not done this audition part. We might not have hired this person because we had a limited number of openings. And we might have talked, we might have hired somebody who talked a better game, but then there's just no way that it would have turned out as well. This woman turned out to be probably one of the best testers that we had on that project. She was always good at finding these little subtle bugs. So that's a good one for testers. Now you might say, well, yeah, but I'm hiring people at a more senior level than that. And they don't just run tests. And, you know, we've got a lot of more high level stuff that we need them to do. So in that case, of course, you want your audition to focus on the skills that are most important. So give somebody whatever kind of test basis document they're going to have, a user story, a requirements document, a design spec, a URL that gives a page that describes the system under test, whatever kind of information they're going to have to work from, and ask them to write a test at whatever level of detail you typically have people write a test. And ideally give them a sample so that you can say, write a test that looks like this. And if this is a test that's already been written by somebody else, you can then do a comparison and go, okay, well, how did they do? Right. Otherwise you just have to sort of, evaluate the test that they wrote based on, some sort of, ideally a checklist that you have of, what constitutes a quality test. I mean, you have to remember that there are various cognitive biases that can get in your way when you're going through hiring, and one of these is that you will tend to hire people with similar skills, background, culture, etc., to you. And one of the things the audition interview can help you do is get away from that inherent and usually unconscious bias that is going to skew you towards having a sort of a unidimensional team that's really strong in the same areas that you're strong in and weak in all the other areas. If you're hiring people who are going to be on an agile team, what you might want to do is ask them to participate in some of these rituals that occur in agile testing, but in mocked form. So, daily stand-ups or those sort of things. Those are some ideas. Again, the key thing here is you want somebody to be able to demonstrate the ability to do the work, that the most important work that they're going to need to do. So make sure that you don't just pick, the low hanging fruit, right? Things that are easy to turn into auditions, but you actually think about what is the key skill and or set of skills that they need to have and identify auditions around that. Don't be afraid to use multiple auditions. There's nothing wrong with that, but do be careful to give people breaks after a while. This idea of dragging somebody in and running them through 8 hours of interviews back to back and so forth and rushing them from one room to another. I mean, unless the ability to work without any sort of recovery time between intensive tasks is something that you require, which generally is not, then you shouldn't be doing that because you're setting up your entire interview process effectively as an audition for a set of skills that's not needed, if you see what I mean. So if you're going to have someone do some sort of intensive set of auditions, make sure you give them, you know, a good 15-minute break or so every hour and a half at least. Let them kind of reset. Okay. Well, that's what I've got. You know, again, one key idea. The idea is done in 20 minutes. So I'll open this up for questions that anyone might have. Before I start to get to the questions, just a quick word about the services. As I mentioned, we do have a team of international consultants that deliver customized training, consulting, and expert services to companies probably just like yours, looking to improve your test and quality assurance practices. Because if you weren't looking to improve that, what are you doing listening to a webinar about how to do better interviews of testers? So if you do receive valuable information from our free webinars, do please help us continue to provide them by making RBCS your preferred software testing vendor for any and all expert services, consulting, or training. Okay, let's see what we got here. We got a detailed question from Amit. So he says, how would you create an audition interview aimed for checking if a tester will stand up against external pressure and authority? Explaining my last question, one of the most important things we require from our testers is to point out requirements that are incorrect or an implementation choice that isn't good enough. Those require standing up in front of the PM or the architect and asking, are you sure? Well, that's a great question. And Amit, you sort of answered your own question there. Because you're saying that you're wanting to see, you know, is someone able to defend that? So certainly I would expect that you have some examples of requirements or implementation choices or et cetera from past, experience that meet this exact criteria of being not good enough in some way and in some important way. So, one of the things that you could do, Amit, of course, after having someone sign a non-disclosure agreement, which is fairly typical in coming into tech interviews anyway, is you give them the user story or the requirement or the use case or the design spec or the code itself, whatever it is that they're expected to be able to review, and give them something that's problematic. And of course, one of the things you want them to do is say, well, you know, review this, and come back with your findings. Right. So first you're checking, are they able to actually see that something is not good enough? And then you would, either you or somebody you've chosen, maybe from your team or maybe the actual PM or product owner themselves, comes in and role plays the skeptical, individual. Now it should be a role play. I wouldn't actually thrust somebody into doing this in the real world. As part of the interview, because there's too many ways that could go off the rails, right? If you had a product owner come in and force that product owner with the candidate to defend some user story, you know, that puts the candidate in a very uncomfortable position of actually critiquing somebody's work. And this somebody is somebody who's going to be involved in, possibly making a hiring decision. So, you know, you want to be careful about how you role play out this, this person who's you're trying to convince. So certainly that would be something that you could do. Now you follow on here, Amit, doesn't that require a lot of prior knowledge on the product context? Well, it depends on the product. I mean, you know, certainly I would expect that if you're talking about some sort of very complex system and you're hiring people that might not have that context already, that could be problematic. So in that case, you might have to construct a more artificial example. But, you know, if this is something that somebody needs to be able to do pretty much right away, I think you sort of would want, you'd want to thrust them into doing the real thing. But yes, I mean, I get that you don't want to put somebody in a situation where they can't possibly succeed. The audition interview should be crafted so that they are challenging and also so that they have a sort of a calibration level to them, like what I described with the woman finding multiple bugs, some more subtle than others. But, you know, if you make them trivial, you construct trivialized examples, then, you know, you're not asking someone, you're asking someone to demonstrate the skills, but not the skill level that's required for the job. Craig asks, do you talk through the expected answer for the task? For example, in the case where somebody says your test case passed when it should have failed, do you talk about what they saw? If you have them create a set of test cases for a purposely vague sample program, do you just accept their answer? Or do you have a discussion about things they may have missed? Well, okay, to get back and getting to the first question about someone says the test passed when it should have failed, do you talk about what they saw? Well, yeah, we kind of do. I mean, when somebody says it passed, we would then say, really, because actually there are some known defects there. And we might, you know, we might ask them, but in that case, if the defects are pretty obvious and we've come to the conclusion that at least one of those causes a failure that's, you know, significant enough that anybody should have noticed that, we don't always want to spend a whole lot more time. It's not a good use of the candidate's time because the candidate's not going to get the job. And it's not a really good use of your time because you're not going to hire this person. Right. So now you might want to just kind of understand, is there a flaw in your audition test case? So you might want to get a little bit of background on it, but, you know, I would not invest too much time in trying to figure this out. Now, as far as the second one, have them create a set of test cases for a purposely vague sample program. I mean, you know, we would there be looking for like what's in the test and what's not in the test, right? So let's say that we gave somebody a user story that was not particularly well constructed and it was missing some obvious acceptance criteria. One of the things that we would expect that would come out of this exercise is that they would identify problems in the user story and missing acceptance criteria and perhaps propose acceptance criteria that would be legit, right? And of course, yeah, we would want to have some defined expectations because you don't just give this to them, to the person, and go, well, let's see what happens if we make them do this. You know, it should be more that you do have some expectations. Now, of course, you're willing to be surprised by them getting you more than what you looked for, like we were with the woman who found bugs we didn't even know were there. But yeah, certainly in the more advanced kind of thing, like I give somebody a poorly written use case or user story or requirements document, and I kind of ask them to struggle through that, and that's a more challenging assignment, and I'm going to be willing to discuss with them a little further than I would with the more junior person. Now, to follow on that question, we have Bill asking, offer some examples of audition interview items for very senior QA candidates. Well, kind of depends on what they're doing, right? I mean, if somebody's going to be doing automation, then one of the things that you might want them to do is actually demonstrate the ability to write some sort of script using whatever automation tool they claim to know, which presumably would be the one that you are using. And, then, you know, sort of defend that script against a code review. Again, you know, possibly bringing in somebody to look it over and, provide some ideas. If the person is going to be in more of a interfacing with management role, then you get into the more of these kind of role playing exercises where you have somebody present a particular set of results and have to be able to defend it. You know, there are a variety of ways of constructing scenarios that will you know, allow you to evaluate these senior skills. You do have to be careful, you know, as I said, that it's not overly trivialized or impossibly difficult. And as you get into the more senior candidates, that does get to be more challenging. But, you know, make sure that you're looking at, you know, what is this thing that this person's going to need to be able to do? And, you know, how would we evaluate that, in a fair, fashion? All right. Very good. Well, as we said, so it's the one key idea. So we aim to deliver a short burst of relevant knowledge in a brief period of time. And hopefully I've achieved that objective, for you guys. Lindsay says, really great webinar today, Rex. Thank you. You're quite welcome, Lindsay. My pleasure. Close this session out. Do remember that we run these free webinar sessions once a month. We had a gap last month because of a guest glitch. We were looking for guests for our 2 points of view at 2, and we weren't able to find somebody. But we'll certainly keep at that. We'll have our schedule for the new year coming out shortly. Please check out our website, rbcs-us.com, to sign up to get notifications of our webinars and sign up for our regular free newsletter, which we'll have one coming out soon that's going to give you some valuable discounts on consulting and training services and let you know what we've done in 2018 and what's coming in 2019. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. You see the coordinates down here, so please do that. Current and previous recorded webinars are posted regularly, so watch for them on our social media. We offer these free resources as a service to the software testing community, as I said, because at RBCS we're a not just for profit company, but don't forget, we also need to keep the lights on. So please make RBCS your preferred software testing vendor for any and all expert services, consulting, or training. Thanks for joining us. This concludes the webinar. Have a great holiday and see you in 2019.